Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Go For It. I'm your host, Paul Gant, and for the next 2 hours, we will be talking sports and having fun doing it. I want all your ideas, all your opinions, and all your beliefs. And of course, as always, you will get a heavy dose of my opinion. And if you have an opinion, then number to call, 646-727-3070. That's 646-727-3070. You can listen to the show at blogtalkradio.com/pgant. That's blogtalkradio.com/pgant. And you can send messages to the show on Twitter at GoForItGant. And while you're there on Twitter, give me a follow at GoForItGant. Good show lined up for you today. Expected to be joined by Boston Celtics forward Chris Wilcox. And Chris Wilcox is going to discuss his return. He had a surgery, heart surgery, enlarged aorta in his heart. He had surgery. He is now back. He is re-signed with the Boston Celtics. So we're going to talk to him about his return and much, much more. We're also going to be joined by former Eagle and former Giant offensive lineman, three-time Pro Bowler, Sean Andrews, and going to have a good time with the big homie talking about his career and talk about what's going on with Sean Andrews right now. And I'm going to start right now. I'm going to start in the NFL. And a lot of things been going on in the NFL. And this is not even on the field. This is an off-the-field thing. And yesterday you had the situation, Kenny Britt of the Houston, not the Houston Texans, the Tennessee Titans. Again, a guy arrested again for a DWI. His eighth arrest since he came into the league back in 2009. That's a lot of arrests. That's just excessive. That's just, you have a problem. You are a knucklehead, and you need to get this thing right. That is what that's saying to me. You need to get this thing right. You're a knucklehead right now, Kenny. You've been arrested eight times. You've been arrested eight times since you've been in the league and since you came into the league back in 2009. Eight arrests. Eight arrests. The list is outstanding traffic warrant for false statements on his driver license application. Ticket for driving without a license. I mean, the first two, not awful. Lawsuit over an alleged role in a Nashville bar fight. That could be, you know, pretty bad depending on the type of injuries that the person had in that particular fight. Arrest after a car chase, that's not good. Charges for a resisting arrest after police confronted him over what they thought was marijuana possession. That's not good. It's just not good. Not good. He's coming off injuries, gruesome knee injury for Kenny Britt. And it's a sad situation to see these guys and Kenny Britt, Dez Bryant and his situation. Oh, and at this point, none of these people have been convicted of anything at this point. These are all allegations. Their time in court will come, but Dez Bryant and his situation with his mother, I mean, just a sad situation there. And I mean, at this point, it's all allegations. It is all allegations. But the case is going to the Dallas DA. And so we all heard the 911 report, his mom talking, and, you know, she's not saying she's not going to take this no more, you know, talking about he may kill her. All this other crazy stuff. And then according to the incident report, I mean, Dez Bryant is accused of grabbing his mother's shirt, striking her with his baseball cap, and striking her in the hands and the wrist repeatedly. I mean, just some crazy stuff. And the thing about it here, though, and there could be more to the story. I mean, ultimately, the courts will find all out. There could be more to it. But the thing with Dez Bryant and his whole situation is he's a guy that's had issues in the past, and none of his stuff in the past really got to this level. It really wasn't anything major, I would think. But the thing about it is this. I mean, he's coming into the league now. He has a reputation for doing things that are not so good, obviously. He has that reputation now of doing things that are not so good. And the man has talent. He has a boatload of talent. I mean, this is a very talented wide receiver. Has all the ability in the world. Has all the ability in the world. All the ability in the world to get it done. I mean, his ability is second to none. The things that he can do on the football field. But he is young. And youth sometimes rears his ugly head. It rears his ugly head. And it's, you know, and at this point with Dez Bryant, I mean, he's got to get this thing right. He's got to get this thing right. The potential for him to be great, to be very good, is he has the potential to be a very, very good wide receiver in this league. But he has to get it right. He has to get it right. You can't do these kind of things. You can't. You can't. Now, his mom, she's been troubled as well. I know she's done time for various drug offenses. But you don't you don't know. I mean, it could be a respect issue between him and his mother. You don't know. And granted, there's no excuse, obviously, for putting your hands on a female, especially your mother. But you don't know in terms of you don't know in terms of his respect level for her because of some of the things she's been through. You don't know if that played into anything. You don't know. And his mom is 37 years old. He's 20. Dez is 22, excuse me. So, you know, that's they're kind of in some respect around the same age bracket. If you look at it, they're still kind of in the same age bracket. I mean, so a lot of things could be in play here. A lot of things could be in play here. But the thing about it, regardless, like I said before, putting your hands on a female is inexcusable. Putting your hands on your mother is just blows my mind. Just blows my mind. But the thing about it, and you hope that some of the things that are alleged here, you hope they didn't happen. You hope maybe there's more to this story. I mean, just looking at the 911 call, here's a quote from it. I can't keep letting him do me like this. I'm tired, Angela Bryant said on the call. I'm going to put an end to it today. I'm going to put an end to it today. I'm tired. And so you get the sense from that particular call, that 911 call, that possibly this is going on or has been going on for a period of time. Maybe he was physical with her in the past, and in some respects she was trying to protect him. I don't know. I mean, there could be so many different layers to this story. And Dez Bryant is actually 24 years old, not 23, as I said before. He is 24 years old. His mother is 37. So, again, around the same age bracket. So in some respect, you might be talking about peers here in a lot of ways. You could be talking about peers here. I mean, 13 years old, that's the ultimate baby raising a baby. So a lot of different layers in this story. This is not cut and dry. This is not a cut and dry story at all. I mean, again, they're around the same age. They're in the same age group. They are in the same age group. And like I said, they're peers. They almost become like brothers and sisters. They almost become like brothers and sisters. And there could be a respect issue there. Because, like I said before, her mother has had some legal troubles in her life. She's had some legal troubles in her life. So it could be a respect issue there. I mean, it's a lot of different things here going with this story. And this is a story that we're going to have to watch for now. And you wonder, will Commissioner Goodell be calling if Dez is convicted? And Roger Goodell, I mean, sometimes it doesn't even take a conviction for him to suspend you. So you wonder what is going to happen here. You wonder what's going to happen with Kenny Britt. I mean, does Kenny Britt get a sizable suspension? I mean, this is his eighth arrest at this point. So he's really, really, really pushing it. And so he's really, I mean, you got to watch yourself now. And the thing about Roger Goodell's NFL, what you do off the field counts just as much as what you do on the field, because the bottom line is, if you're not acting right, if you're not acting right, guess what? You're going to miss time. If you do the wrong things, you're going to miss time. Bottom line is, now you could see where there always could be that possibility now where Kenny Britt misses time. Dez Bryant, maybe he misses time. And maybe that's what it takes. Maybe that's what it takes. But these guys getting arrested, I mean, Marshawn Lynch, these guys getting arrested for DUIs, DWIs, Jason Kidd even going to the NBA. But these guys getting arrested for that is just inexcusable. You make a lot of money. You can't hire a driver. You can't say, you know what, beginning of the night, look, I'm going to get my drink on. I'm going to be intoxicated. So I'm going to get a driver tonight because I know what I'm going to do tonight. I know what I'm getting into tonight. I'm going to get me a driver. You know what? He's going to drop me off at the club. He's going to stay near. I'm going to call him. He's going to come pick me up. He's going to take me home, and I'm going to go to sleep. I mean, that's what needs to be done here. I mean, and Jason Kidd, 39 years old, I mean, you know, you got to learn. You got to learn. You're a little too old for that, J. Kidd. You're a little too old for that, man. You should know this by now. You need to know this by now. You're darn near 40. You need to know by now that if you're going to drink, you're going to get wild, you're going to go crazy, dance on tables, get your drink on. If you're going to do all that, if you're going to do all that, hire a driver. If you know that's what you're going to do before you step out your home, hire a driver. You have money, Jay Kidd. You made a boatload of money in your career. And you just signed a three-year, $9 million contract with the New York Knicks. So you have money. Money really shouldn't be an object here for you. Hire a driver. Simple. Simple. Very simple. Hire a driver. Hire a driver. Hire a driver. If you know what you're going to do before the night begins, hire the driver. Look, I'm going to get my drink on tonight. So you know what? Because I'm getting my drink on tonight, I'm going to need somebody to take me home. So, hey, you look at the Jason Kidd situation. I mean, that could have been a lot worse than it was. I mean, thank God he didn't hurt himself or anybody else. I guess more you look at him, more so anybody else, because anybody else would have been the innocent one. I mean, that could have been a bad situation. And all these situations could have been bad situations. But it seemed like the Jay Kidd situation could have been worse, because he was talking about he didn't even remember the accident. He didn't even remember the accident. So with that being said, could you imagine what he could have done? Could you imagine the lives that could have been affected by this? mean, thank God it was just a utility pole that he hit. Thank God he didn't get hurt. Thank God he didn't hurt anybody else. But the thing about it is, and I got to go back to it, how can you go out, night out, hanging out, whatnot, drinking? How are you going to do that with all the money that you have? I mean, you know, the average man, sometimes they may not have the money to get a driver. You might not have the money to get a driver. In that particular situation, get a designated driver. Have a designated driver. Say, you know what, Joe, tonight you ain't drinking. You're driving. You're driving for us tonight. And then maybe you guys can alternate or something. I mean, that's what a common man would have to do. But a guy that makes the type of money that Jason Kidd makes, Marshawn Lynch, who just signed a new contract, $31 million, I believe 18 of it guaranteed. I mean, guys who've signed contracts for good money and have the resources to do and hire a driver are not doing it. You have the resources to hire a driver. You have the resources. You have the resources. So when you have the resources to do something, when you have the resources to drive, I mean, it doesn't make sense. It doesn't make sense. You have the resources. You have the resources. You have the resources. You have the resources. You have the money. You have the money. You have the money. But that being said, since you have the money, since you have the resources, you need to get that done. Don't make sense, man. Don't make sense that guys who make a lot of money are having DUIs, DWIs. Doesn't make sense. Doesn't make sense. You have the money. You have the money. You have the resources. You have the money. You have the resources. You have the money. You have the resources. It doesn't make sense for you to go out one night drinking and not have a driver. That's silly. That's stupid. It doesn't make sense. It doesn't make sense. You have money. You have resources. It doesn't make sense. Let's bring in a guy now who has the money, has the resources, but also a guy that's your homie, my homie, our homie, the big homie, Sean Andrews. Sean, how are you, sir?
Man, I'm amazing. Nothing short of amazing. How are you?
Doing well. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
And, Sean, let's get right down to it.
Sure.
What did you have for breakfast this morning?
You know what, dude? Actually, this morning, honestly, believe it or not, I didn't eat breakfast. Well, I wouldn't consider it a breakfast. I had two of these small, what are they called? They're made by Cascadian Farm Organic Berry Vanilla Chip Chewy Granola Bar. So I had two of these, and they're, what, 140 calories apiece, and I had, like, a bottle of water. I'm on my second bottle of water now.
Okay, okay. Yeah, so nothing big here, nothing big.
Nothing big, man. I don't eat like I used to, man. I do not eat like sometimes I even surprise myself with, like, how much of a change I've made in my diet.
And, Sean, let's talk about it now. You were released by the Giants last year after you guys could not come together on a restructured contract. At this point, are you retired from the game of football?
Well, I haven't turned in my paperwork yet. You know, I've been out of the game, you know, a little bit over a year, I guess, year and a half or so. So I guess one could have, you know, assumed that I'm retired, but I could go back. But I just have to be smart about it. You know, I have to weigh my options. You know, I have a four-year-old son who's active as ever, man, and, you know, and I'm an active guy myself, and I'm a kid at heart. So as much as I want to be around and be physically able to, you know, have fun with him, then, you know, that's what counts.
And so looking at it right now, your back was the issue throughout the course of your career. How is the back at this point?
The back is being managed, you know. Some days are better than others. I would have to say the good days outweigh the bad because, you know, I'm doing everything in my power, you know, physically as far as stretching and doing these core strengthening exercises, just trying to give myself the best chance to be pain-free. Now, I have these episodes yearly that last for about a week to 8 days that may come one or two times a year, man, where I can't walk. I don't even want to talk. I just lay in the bed and try to sleep as much as possible. But, you know, I don't throw any pity parties, man. I just keep it moving and try to stay active.
Right. And looking back at your career now, Sean, you had some very productive years in Philadelphia. But I got the sense, all in all, that the fans of Philadelphia really did not understand you during your time in Philly. Would you agree with that?
I would definitely agree with it. You know, everything is all about timing, right? You know, I was just myself. I was just being me, man. I realized who I was. Now, for a while there, I got around a lot of people who I didn't recognize and didn't know. So I tried to conform to them for a while. Then I stepped back and realized, you know, this is not you, man. You came from a small town in Arkansas. You know, get yourself together, man, and just be who you are, man. It takes too much energy trying to be someone else, you know?
Right. And that's what I like about you, Sean. You seem like a lot of professional athletes, they want to conform, like you said, to an image. They want to be what they think they should be. And I got the sense from you and get the sense from you now that you really want to be yourself, and that's a beautiful thing.
Yeah. You know, I mean, if we were all the same, this would be a boring world, you know what I mean? You know, my thought is the things that I've done over the course of my career, I haven't had any – you know, really any intention on hurting anyone physically or, you know, mentally or however it affects, you know, fans or whatever the case, you know, like with the back issues, then, you know, making the YouTube videos, like I say, it's all about timing. And, you know, if I had not gone through the whole little depression situation thing, you know, the YouTube videos wouldn't have been an issue because before the back injury, I was kicking asphalt now.
Right. You were balling. You were balling.
Uh-huh.
Definitely were balling. And let's talk about it. I mean, the situation with your depression back in 2008, such a taboo subject in the world of sports. I mean, football, you're manly. You're not supposed to show any type of weaknesses.
Mm-hmm.
Looking back on that whole situation, how tough was that for you? How tough was that whole thing for you?
Wow, it was a very overwhelming experience. Nothing like I even could fathom beforehand. You know, but in the end game, I still ask myself this question. Would I take it back? You know, the part of me that wish I could still be playing football and should be still playing and on to a Hall of Fame career for the Philadelphia Eagles, that's supposed to be the end story, but that's not the way it is. But the going through that whole thing and it being public, the amount of people that I've helped, the amount of people that have written me letters and, hey, man, you know, you talking about your situation, help me talk about my situation, you saved my life, et cetera, man. All the good letters I hold in my heart forever, you know.
And that's the thing about it, being a professional athlete. Your situation is public. I mean, Joe Public can go through depression, but he doesn't have to go through depression in the limelight.
Right.
And so I think that makes it very hard.
Yeah. It does, but you know what, man? It just, like, the amount of negative letters that I receive, you know, if I received 100 negative letters, just that one positive letter, you know, outweighed the negative, and that's the way I treated it, man, and that's what kind of helped me get through it outside of my family and just outside of, you know, my son. And just, you know, I have a lot of motivations to live and be well.
We're talking to three-time Pro Bowl offensive lineman Sean Andrews. And, Sean, we talked about the back and looking at it, and you kind of said it yourself, but if the back does not happen, if you don't have the back issues, do you see yourself as probably a Hall of Famer at this point or still playing,
you know,
but
what? Hey,
a perennial Pro Bowler?
Listen, man, when Sean Andrews is healthy, man, you know, I don't know how many – how many defensive linemen out there would admit it, but I tell you this, the film don't lie, man. You know, like I say, you take away the injury, but you can't. But we're just talking. We're just engaging in dialogue, you and I. But I do feel like I would have very well been on to a Hall of Fame career.
Right.
I do, honestly.
When was the last time Sean Andrews was completely healthy? What year?
Completely healthy, man. Perennial. I mean, pineapple, like, you know, luau's, and I mean, it would be Hawaii every way, and I don't mean that in an unhumble way. It's just that you understanding who you are, understanding. Well, I guess I'm talking about me, but me understanding the type of player that I am or the type of player that I was, and the respect that I had around the league. I just feel like I was on that path, man. I was definitely.
Right.
If you look at that last half of that Dallas game when I hurt my back on field goal before
okay.
I hurt my back, that half of football was some of the most amazing football that I've ever played. And even my rookie year when I broke my leg against the Giants, that was the most amazing half of football. And you put those two together, that is just it's a field day.
I mean, you definitely balled when healthy. You definitely balled. I mean, I don't think anybody can take that away from you. You did your thing. And looking at it now, your time with the Philadelphia Eagles, what was your greatest memory as an Eagle?
My greatest memory as an Eagle. my greatest memory as an Eagle. I guess, you know, when I first got there, man, just, you know, and everything I've always done, I've done with an open mind. But just making it to the NFL, that being the first team, and seeing my last name on the back of a Philadelphia Eagles jersey, you know, knowing that my end game goal was to be able to take care of my mom, you know, by way of the craft that I worked on since, you know, middle school, playing football. I made it. Mom doesn't have to work anymore. I'm like, man, this is great. And,
right.
You know, I do have a lot of good memories. I had some pretty good relationships in the building. I can't say that I was close with everybody. You know, everybody's, you know, these are my coworkers, so you can't, you know, you can't expect all the coworkers at Walmart or wherever they work to get along, you know what I'm saying?
Definitely.
Yeah.
And speaking of that, I want to go back to that 2005 season with the Philadelphia Eagles. Speaking of not getting along, I mean, you had the whole Donovan McNabb, Terrell Owens situation. How much did that really break up the locker room?
It definitely hurts the team. Now, I will say this. A lot of stuff that's been said is just talk. It's just hearsay.
Right.
You know, I was there, and I won't go into it, but it definitely – it breaks a team down, and it starts from the inside out. You know, you see the morale of guys, and it just spreads. It's like a cancer.
Right. Right. And it really did affect the team that much in 2005?
I believe so, because, you know, guys are just talking. You got rumors going on. Before you know it, everybody's saying all the wrong things, and, you know, next thing you know, a couple other guys' names have come up in something. He say, she say, and it's just crazy, man. Yeah.
And Terrell Owens, in a lot of ways, it's sort of like you in some respect. You guys kind of do your own things. You kind of don't care what people think about you. Did you see that with T.O.?
You know what? I did see that with T.O. You know, it's, I think everybody to an extent, I really do believe this in my heart, that everybody to an extent cares what people think about them. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
I don't know if it could be about what they drive, what they live in, because, you know, a lot of people put up a lot of false hope, and I was one of those people. You know, I remember when the Eagles said they were going to, you know, do my second contract, you know, come back and negotiate. The only thing I was thinking about is a Rolls Royce. I was like, I got to have a Rolls Royce. But then when I bought the Rolls Royce, I got to realizing that this is not me. You know, I used to watch BET videos, and I actually got a chance to hang around and know a few of the rappers, and they actually didn't own the Rolls Royces, and I didn't even know that at the time. But, you know, I'm just living off of false hope and thinking that this is the way it's supposed to live, and that's not the way it's supposed to be, you know.
So in a lot of ways, you got caught up.
Got caught up, man. Got caught up, man. Most definitely got caught up, man. I can't even – I'm ashamed to even think about the amount of money I wasted on jewelry, the amount of jewelry that I've lost, the amount of jewelry – you know what? I even actually, when I decided to make a change and go away from all the whole bling-bling, I gave away a crazy amount of jewelry to some people that needed it, you know, needless to say. But, yeah, that just wasn't me, man. Like, seriously, dude. That wasn't
and you
me,
get
man.
That. I mean, I sense it. I mean, it's just – you're a regular guy.
Yeah.
You're a regular guy. And I think sometimes when you get involved in athletics and you get the money, you become money changes people. Money changes
people. It does. It does change. When people, you know, when people say money changes you, you know, some people look at it like, oh, you think you're better than people. I've never treated anybody in any situation where I felt like I was better than anybody because I made a couple dollars playing football. It's just that, you know, your outlook is different, and, you know, it changes your perspective on a lot of things, you know?
Right. Definitely. Yeah. And looking at it, Sean, I mean, you went to the Giants in 2010. As of right now, that was your final year in the league. How did you enjoy your time at NY?
Wow. Listen, I was in New York for less than 6 months.
Okay.
And the memories that I have, it's almost, excuse me, my allergies are acting up. But the memories that I have, it's almost like each day, it was almost like a short film for me or something. But the memories that I garnered in less than 6 months I was there, man, they will endure in my heart forever because, like, the people were just so amazing. From the top office to down to the janitor, seriously.
Wow.
Beautiful
wow.
people, man, and in the locker room, like the guys in the locker room, it wasn't no pointing fingers. It wasn't no, you know, we're cliques over here. Like we only mess with. It was just all love.
Right.
And then, you know, hearing the respect that they had for me, and you know, the stories that they shared from when I was a Philadelphia Eagle, and how and some of my better games were against the Giants now and the Cowboys. Most of the guys in the conference, but. You know, just to hear some of the stories, man, it was really fun. And just to be respected, man, just to be respected, you know, coming off of two back surgeries, and they's like, ah, oh, he's not going to make it back. And I'm out in L.A. just grinding my ass off. And they had no clue, man. It was a good way to go out. I didn't win a Super Bowl or anything, but that was my Super Bowl, making it back to the game and being able to play for the Giants, you know.
And speaking of that, I mean, a lot of bad luck has happened in your career in a lot of ways. 2004, you break your leg, Eagles go to the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
2010, you went to Giants. The following year, 2011, they go to the Super Bowl. They win the Super Bowl.
I guess it wasn't meant for me to get it. But my bro got one, and he lives right around the corner, so I get to look at it every time. As a matter of fact, he actually said I can wear it, but I'm too scared because I lose everything, so I'm not going to even wear it. I'm not going to wear it. I'm not going to leave within 5 feet of him with that ring.
So we're clear, Sean. You're done from football, you think, at this point?
I'm not sure.
Because you're only 29 years old.
I'm 29 years old, man. And when I tell people that, they're like, oh, you still have a lot. But they don't know what my back, they don't know what my body has been through, man. Down in the trenches, man, you know, a lot of guys will present that macho guy mentality, man. But down in the trenches, it's real. And I've never backed down from competition. I love the collisions. I miss the collisions. But I really have to be smart, man. I mean, I hurt my back, you know, my senior year of high school. And I thank God for Coach Glover because he took his own time and his own money, took me to a doctor he knew, got me an epidural, didn't have any more issues until was about, I guess, 4 years ago now against the Cowboys on Monday Night Football on freaking field goal. I'd have rather broke my back in half running an actual play. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'd have rather been on a halfback, two jet halfback slow screen right on one. Boom. I'm setting 1-2. I'm getting out on the screen. Westbrook knows that, hey, I'm behind Big 7-3. Boom. And whatever happens, I'll accept breaking my back in half. But field goal, man. Field goal?
Wow.
We talking about field goal. Am
I knew that was coming.
Field goal?
I knew that was coming. I knew it.
Not a play, but
I knew it. I knew it was coming. I knew it.
But it's all good, man. You know, you gotta learn to laugh, man. It's all good.
Definitely, definitely. And Sean, I mean, we know you love food, and it's a good thing. I mean, we all love food. Food is a good thing. If you had 24 hours to live, what would be the meal of your choice?
The meal of my choice would probably, it would probably be steaks from Boa in Santa Monica, California.
Okay.
Steaks from Boa, cheeseburgers, probably. They have nine on the menu at Big Orange here in Little Rock. But I would probably want all nine cheeseburgers on the menu. I'm serious. Some food from Capital Grill in Philadelphia on Broad Street, because I used to eat there probably at my best. I used to eat there 5 days a week. Seriously.
Wow.
I would love some. Budokan on what is that? Chestnut, I believe it is, in Philadelphia.
Okay.
Del Frisco. I mean, it's just it doesn't stop, man. I would want too much. I probably would live just because I wanted too much. You know what I'm saying? Like, the desire to live, I want more food, so I probably wouldn't die in the 24 hours. It'd probably be like 72, so it'd be all good.
We're talking to three-time Pro Bowler Sean Andrews. And, Sean, you love to rap, and at a time there was a point where you were getting your Michael Phelps on.
I was getting my Michael Phelps on.
Talk about Sean Andrews, the rapper.
Sean Andrews, the rapper. You know what? What's crazy, man? At times, I'm good. At times, I'm horrible. And I'll tell you this, before I called you, I was actually in here rapping, just messing around, having fun. And you know what? Actually, messing around with this music, sometimes I never get anything done. But it keeps my mind off of food. It keeps my mind off of snacking. It keeps my mind off of the worries of the world that weigh on me, you know, and it just takes me away. So I just do it, and it consumes my time. Some guys are into video games. Some guys go bowling, you know. Some guys just, you know, guys have different hobbies, and music is always my thing. So that's where fans kind of misunderstood it, you know. They treated it like, you know, my back is injured, okay, but I'm putting out YouTube videos, but I'm at home in my basement in my studio, but it doesn't require any physical activity. You know, this is just what I'm doing away from the game. Well, you should be focused on rehab, but I'm focused on rehab 8 hours a day that I'm at the NovaCare facility. So, but they don't understand that, you know.
Right.
They don't understand it, man. You got to have a life outside of your job, you know. I don't think people that, you know, I don't even want to use anybody for an example, but, you know, you got to have a life outside of work.
Do you have a freestyle for us, Sean?
Do I have a freestyle? You know what's crazy? I think I have ESP, and I had a feeling that you would say something like that, and unfortunately, today is one of my off days, not meaning like, I don't have a job, but I'm off as far as like my freestyle, so I won't even trouble you or me or any of the listeners. But maybe next time, though.
Now, Sean, you talked about earlier, now you're kind of watch your weight at this point. What do you weigh right now? What is your weight?
Right now I'm 303. My lowest, I was 296. Everybody's like, you're getting too skinny, but now I'm putting muscle on. I'm really getting pretty shredded. Really excited, man. I've just educated myself about what's in this food, and, you know, I just left all the hydrogenated stuff alone and the fake sugars and everything, man. Just, you know, I work out. Sometimes I work out 2-3 times a day. I'm just motivated, you know. Just motivated to live. And
motivated to live or motivated for a return?
Well, you know what? I told myself after I played for the Giants, I said I was going to take a year off, get in the best shape of my life, which I'm in the best shape of my life, man. My functional strength is at an all-time off-the-charts, Pop-Tarts, amazing. Like, it's just ridiculous. It's really ridiculous, but what's in question is my back. You know what I'm saying?
Right, right.
And, you know, like, what is this back worth? It's tough to say. I really don't want to – I can't put a price on my health because, you know, I could keep going. I could keep getting the pain shots, but I'm only going to rot from the inside out, and I don't want to be in a wheelchair by 35, you know.
Right,
even if I live
that
long, I take it one day at a time, but you know what I'm saying.
Definitely, definitely. So the bottom line is, at this point, you're weighing your options.
I'm weighing my options, and I'm weighing them, and I've been weighing them, like, on Friday when I was playing in season, trying to lose weight so I wouldn't get fined. But I'm definitely weighing my options, man, and I just got to be smart, man, you know?
Definitely.
Gotta be
Sean,
smart.
You say a lot of smart, funny, witty things on Twitter. What is your Twitter account so fans can follow you?
Well, you know what? My Twitter is at Sean Andrews, and I say a lot of random things. I try to keep it PG because I know there's a chance that some kids are following me, and some kids are following me, some teenagers, and they say they're big fans, and I just try to, you know, not to say that I'm perfect or, you know, try to portray that image, but I just try to keep it clean. But I'm random. Just be warned, I'm random.
And you do have some very creative curse words.
Yeah, I don't understand. I have a lot of time on my hands now. You know, I'm just enjoying life, man.
Sean, we enjoyed you here today, man. It was a pleasure talking to you. We
Thank
wish you.
You
nothing but the best of luck, and let's do it again.
I wish nothing but the best for you. All right, yeah, that sounds like a plan, man. I'm sorry. My ADD, I apologize.
No, that's fine. That's fine. Ain't nothing little
yeah,
little
man,
we can't take care
thanks
of.
Thanks for having me on, man. I really appreciate it, man.
Take care of yourself.
Oh, you too.
Sean Andrews, former Eagle, former Giant. And you get the sense talking to this guy, 29 years old. He's torn. I mean, 29 is young. I mean, 29 is young. And it's like, what do you do? What is it's a dilemma. It's a big time dilemma. Do you battle through everything with the possibilities of you not being able to walk the way you want to walk when you get older? Or do you walk away from the game, try to do something else, and try to be productive doing something else? I mean, it's a dilemma. It's a dilemma for Sean Andrews, a dilemma for a lot of people, a lot of athletes. And I'm not an athlete, obviously, but it's an interesting question because you wonder, okay, do I risk injury? Do I risk those things by going out there and playing? Do I risk those things? But at the same time, I'm doing something that I really love. At the same time, I'm doing something that, in some respect, I was put on this earth to do. I'm doing something I love. I love to do this. I enjoy this. This makes me happy. That's the question you have to ask yourself. And then another question you have to ask yourself, the flip side of it in a lot of ways, I want to be able to walk. I want to be able to walk right when I get older. I want to be able to play with my kids. I want to be able to bend down and pick things up. I want to be able to get out of bed. I want to be able to do all these things. I want to enjoy my life. I don't want to have health problems. And that is the thing. I mean, and the thing about it, do you shoot the back up periodically? And like he says, you're affecting yourself inside and out. You're affecting yourself inside out. You know, you're taking the toward all shots and all these other shots just to get yourself out there. Just to get yourself out there. Is it worth it? Is it worth it? And that's a tough thing to answer. And that's something he's going to have to answer at the age of 29. Not even 30 yet. He's not even 30. And so now, you're not 30 yet. You're still in your 20s. And the thing that you love to do. And he was good at it. I mean, Sean Andrews was a beast. He was a flat-out beast. 3-time Pro Bowl. He was one of the best at his position. He got it done. And I watched Sean Andrews as an Eagles fan throughout his career. He got it done. He was one of the best in the game. His screen game was tremendous. He did a lot of work in the screen game. The Eagles were a team that ran a lot of screens back then. Ran a lot of screens, and Sean Andrews was big with the screen game. He was big. Very big. Very big in the screen game. He got it done. He balled. And when he said those things, talked about how good he played and how good he wasn't lying. He was telling you the truth. The man balled. He got it done. But it was a pleasure talking to Sean Andrews. Interesting guy. Very interesting guy. I mean, He gets it done. He got it done throughout his career. He got it done throughout his whole career. He was smart in terms of on the field. I mean, he did his thing at all times. He got it done. Sean Andrews was a beast. And I hope, I mean, I hope maybe he can work this thing out. Maybe he can get his back right where he could play again. And ultimately, I just hope that he finds something that he'll like to do, and that'll make him happy. And a lot of interesting things came out of that conversation with Sean Andrews and how, you know, professional athletes in terms of conforming to that culture, the culture of once you get that money, once you get the money, you start going and doing things, and you start acting not like yourself, but like how you think you're supposed to act when you have money. You start buying things that are just ridiculous, jewelry, cars, all these things. You're buying all these things that you don't need. You don't need it, but you buy it anyway. You want it. That's what you think, that's what you're supposed to do. You get the money, you got to get these things. You got to get the cars. You got to get the jewelry. You got to get those things. And the funny thing about it, he gave most of his jewelry away. He ended up giving his jewelry away. That's deep. That's real. But again, it was a pleasure talking to Sean Andrews. A very interesting guy. Truly a very interesting guy to talk to, and I enjoyed that immensely. Definitely enjoyed that conversation with Sean Andrews. Great guy. Great guy. Looking at it now, switching gears, I want to switch to the NBA, the National Basketball Association. And you know who we have to talk about. I almost want to bring in, as the world turns, soap opera music. I mean, just the Dwight Howard thing just will not go away. It just will not go away. I mean, it won't go away. It won't go away. You ask it to go away, but it won't go. It just will not go. It won't go anywhere. Now, there's talks now, Dwight Howard. There's talks now that a trade could be consummated, a three-team trade between the Magic, between the Cavaliers, between the Los Angeles Lakers. And that's the rumor going around for Dwight Howard. Three-team trade for Dwight Howard. I mean, it's just a situation that won't go away. It just won't. But his agent came out and said, Dwight Howard, no matter where he goes, he's going to explore free agency. He's going to explore free agency. That's what he wants to do. He wants to be a free agent. I talked about this last week. But Dwight Howard, You could have taken care of this yourself. You could have taken care of this yourself. You could have taken care of this yourself. All you had to do. All you had to do was opt out instead of opting in. All you had to do was opt out instead of opting in, and we would not have to be talking about this. But I enjoy talking about this, Dwight, so I'm glad you did not opt out. I'm glad you opted in. I'm glad you opted in. And looking at it, I mean, this situation won't go away. It just will not go away. It won't go away. It can't go away. I think something will get done before the season starts. I think it will be the Lakers. And according to the way the deal goes, and this, you know, I don't know, obviously there may be some more players involved, but Bynum goes to the Cavs, Dwight Howard goes to the Lakers, Varejao and draft picks go to Orlando. Now, if you're a Cavaliers, if you can get your hands on an Andrew Bynum and a motivated Andrew Bynum and an Andrew Bynum that would be willing to re-sign with you, that is a good piece to pair up with Kyrie Irving. That is a good piece to pair up with Kyrie Irving, the promising rookie of the year, point guard for the Cleveland Cavaliers. You pair Kyrie Irving up with Andrew Bynum, the second best center in the game of basketball, and you're looking at something, you're building something in Cleveland. You're building. You're building. And I want Cleveland, it would be good to have Cleveland be good again. That would be a good thing. The Cavaliers, those fans, they're championship starved. They're starving like Marvin for a championship, for a winner. So I would love Andrew Bynum to go to Cleveland and give those Cavalier fans something to cheer about. I wouldn't mind seeing that. I wouldn't mind seeing that at all. Not at all. But the thing about it is, if you're the Cavaliers, you got to figure out whether Andrew Bynum will sign. But if you do have him in your hands, he becomes an asset. Trade deadline deal, sign or trade type of deal at the end of the season. He's an asset. He becomes an asset for you. And maybe, I mean, you can offer him the most money, so maybe he'll want to stay. You can offer him the most money. You can offer him the most money. And maybe he'll stay. Maybe they'll stay. Maybe they'll stay. Maybe he'll stay. And that's the thing you got to do with Dwight Howard. Because Dwight Howard, you know, he can't make up his mind either. He don't know what he wants. He don't know what he wants. He does not know what he wants. He does not know what he wants. I mean, what does he want? He doesn't know. He doesn't know what he wants. And because of that, and since he doesn't know what he wants, if you get him, you bring him into your franchise, and he's talking about, yes, I still want to be a free agent. I want to explore my free agency. Yes, I get that. But if you bring him in, this guy has a hard time making a decision. Very evident, very obvious. He has a hard time making a decision. So if you bring him in, he might decide after spending time. I mean, it is, if he goes to the Lakers, it is Los Angeles. Los Angeles is a very beautiful place. He might decide, you know what, this is opportunity. I can do my Hollywood thing, a la Shaq. He might decide, and you talk about the legacy of Lakers centers, Wilt, even George, before that, George Mikan, Wilt, Shaq, Jabbar, maybe Dwight Howard now. Maybe Dwight Howard now. Maybe he's the guy that goes to Los Angeles with the Los Angeles Lakers and keeps that center tradition up. I mean, Dwight Howard is the best center in this game. You could talk about his offensive game. It's still not the greatest, but it ain't bad. But the guy controls the paint. He rebounds the basketball. He blocks shots. He controls the paint. He's a dominant center. He's a dominant center. And many people forget Andrew Bynum. Say what you want about Andrew Bynum. And a lot of people have said, oh, Andrew Bynum is better than Dwight Howard. He might be more polished on the offensive end, but the numbers indicate that Dwight Howard is still better. It's kind of reminiscent of an argument many years ago between Shaq and Alonzo Mourning. I mean, Mourning was maybe the more polished post player. Maybe had the better jump shot. Maybe had the better moves in the post. But Shaq was powerful. Shaq overpowered you. Shaq overpowered you. And he got it done. Shaq got it done. He got it done in his career. 4 titles for Shaq. He was a beast. They changed rules because of Shaq. The zone pretty much was because of Shaq. Let's be real. And I know the league also wanted to kind of get away from isolation basketball as well. But Shaq was unguardable. He was unguardable. You can't say the same about Dwight Howard at this point in his career, but what you can say about Dwight Howard is he controls the paint. He rebounds the basketball like no other. He gets it done. he flat out gets it done. The numbers speak to Dwight Howard getting it done throughout the course of his career. He's a beast. He's a beast. He's better than Andrew Bynum. There's really, I mean, you can make the, there is a comparison, but he's better than Andrew Bynum. The things that he can do. The things that he can do. I mean, Dwight Howard is a beast. He's a flat-out beast. I mean, even that this year, even banged up from time to time throughout the course of this year, 20 points a game, 14.5 boards per game. Big-time numbers. Big-time numbers for Dwight Howard. He's a problem. He is a problem. And so, I think the Lakers, if they can get a Dwight Howard, would be in a good situation. I mean, Andrew Bynum, he's young, he's dumb, and he's done, I mean, he seems to be acting like a little child from time to time. Some of the things that he's done during his time with the Lakers. He's acting like a spoiled child from time to time. Someone that needs to be taken out and given a spanking from time to time. But in terms of who you could depend on, injury-wise, I mean, Andrew Bynum, notorious for injuries. Notorious for injuries. So Andrew Bynum is a guy that's been banged up throughout the course of his career. Each and every year. Been banged up throughout the course of his career. So, Andrew Bynum is a guy that you question whether you can depend on him in terms of his mental makeup. And you're questioning whether you can depend on him from just a physical standpoint, staying healthy. I mean, he missed 29 games in 2006, 2007. Missed a boatload of games 2008. Missed some games 2009. I mean, last year was the first time he's had a complete season, a full season. It wasn't even a complete season. I mean, it was a 66-game season that they had last year. And Andrew Bynum played in 60 of them. I know part of it was suspension as well. But, again, he wasn't healthy until this year. He wasn't healthy for each and every game until this year. So, in terms of who you can depend on mentally, I mean, say what you will about Dwight Howard in terms of not knowing what he wants to do, where he wants to go. When he's on the court, he balls and he gets it done. He's been healthy other than last year when he had the situation with his back. But he's been healthy. He's been healthy. I mean, let's look at the years. I mean, 82 games is 82 in his first year, 81, 82, 82, 79, 82, 78, and 54. So the guy has pretty much played every game. I mean, missed one game in 06, 05, 06. I mean, missed three games, 08, 09, 09, 010, played every game. Missed four games, 2010, 2011. I mean, so, other than last year, Dwight Howard, injury-wise, has been injury-free. He's been injury-free. So, in terms of that, and we could talk about his mental makeup, we can talk about that, sure. In terms of what he wants to do, being undecided, which way do I go? Do I go here? Do I go there? Should I opt in? Should I opt out? Other than that, in terms of on the basketball court, Dwight Howard is a guy that you can rely on. And he makes the Lakers a better ball club. He makes the Lakers a better ball club. But the Lakers are a team now with the signing of Antawn Jamison, which is a big signing for that ball club. Hopefully Antawn Jamison can give them what they missed with Lamar Odom. Not as versatile, but versatile. He's not as versatile as Lamar Odom, but he's still a versatile player. Still plays a three or four position for you. And Antoine Jameson can score the basketball. He's a great addition for the Lakers. Watch out for the Lakers. This is a big move for them. And even if they don't get Bynum, I mean not Bynum, if they don't get Dwight Howard, this is a team that you got to talk about them in terms of getting to the NBA Finals, along with San Antonio, along with the Clippers, and of course along with Oklahoma City. You're listening to Go For It on Blog Talk Radio. Second hour of Go For It. And usually before I bring in the music, I tell you that the second hour of Go For It starts now. So I'm going to say it now. The second hour of Go For It starts right now. In this hour, we're expected to be joined by Boston Celtics forward Chris Wilcox. So Chris is coming off heart surgery. He had an enlarged aorta. He is back on the court. He just started workouts last week, and he's ready. The Celtics re-signed him, and he's ready to get it done, ready to come back. And so we're going to be joined by him in this hour. And it's good. I mean, very good to talk to Chris, I mean, because he's coming back from a tough situation. But we look forward to having Chris on in this second hour. And staying in the NBA, I want to go to the Jeremy Lin saga situation, if you will. Jeremy Lin, official. He is a New York Knick. A Houston Rocket. He was a New York Knick, but he is a Houston Rocket right now. He's going to the Rockets. It is official. The Knicks decided not to match. It wasn't the first year, it wasn't the second year, but it was that third year as he signed a three-year, $25 million contract. But that third year, his number goes up from $5 million to $14 million. And the Knicks were not willing to take that luxury tax hit. And I think that luxury tax hit in that third year would have been in excess of close to $43 million. But with all that being said, there's probably a reason the Rockets reached out to Jeremy Lin. It's probably a reason why the Rockets reached out to Jeremy Lin. There's a reason why. A reason why they did. And I think part of it could be to have some of the success they had with the Asian market, like they had with Yao Ming. Also, I mean, the Rockets need a buzz. There's no buzz with the Houston Rockets. There really is no buzz with the Rockets. They need a buzz. And Jeremy Lin gives them that buzz. They need it. And I know they were trying to get into the Dwight Howard sweepstakes, and it seems like that may have cooled a little bit. I don't know. But there was a buzz with him. There was a buzz with Jeremy Lin. A big-time buzz. And looking at a Time article, or maybe why the Rockets may have chosen Jeremy Lin. And here's the thing, here's our article, and they talk about Yao Ming and his effect on the Rockets. Based on that and his effect, it wasn't the effect that a lot of people may have thought. According to this report, according to this article, the team has about 85 sponsors each year. The Rockets have about 85 sponsors each year. And seven are based in China. and that's accounting for about 5% of the Rockets' sponsorship revenue. But you look at it in terms of when Jeremy Lin was with the Knicks, during the height of Lin's sanity back in February, and I'm reading from a Time magazine article, during the height of Lin's sanity in February, the stock in Madison Square Garden, MSG, the owner of the Knicks, rose 15%. You contrast that by now, reports were that after the Knicks came out and said they were not going to match the offer for Jeremy Lin, that the stock in MSG dropped 9%. It dropped 9%. And you remember back during the height of Lin's sanity, when the whole situation, the whole dispute between Time Warner and Cablevision. And Time Warner in New York City was not going to televise MSG. But they were able to break that whole situation because of Lin's sanity. Lin's sanity was the impetus behind that whole situation getting taken care of. Fans in New York, a lot of fans in New York weren't going to be able to see Jeremy Lin and the New York Knicks because of the whole Time Warner dispute. But they took care of it. And that's mainly because of Lin's sanity and what he brought. But again, the Rockets are a team that finished 22nd in attendance. 22nd in attendance. So I expect that number to change with Jeremy Lin, at least temporarily. And depending on how good they can be, they can keep the numbers. But I think the numbers will get better. I think the numbers will be better for Jeremy Lin. I mean, for the Rockets in terms of attendance. And Houston is a team that is a city that nearly 140,000 Asian Americans live in Houston. And that is the eighth highest total among U.S. cities. So that's going to help them. That's going to help them. And the Rockets, I mean, and I'm not saying Lin's sanity and Jeremy Lin's going to have the same effect that Yao Ming had on things, but the Rockets are a franchise back in 2002 when they got Yao Ming, and their revenues increased by 87%. Between 2002 and 2010, the end of Yao Ming, their revenues increased 87%. Operating income jumped from $7 million to $36 million in 2010. And the team's value, 2002, worth $255 million. In 2010, it was worth $443 million. That's a 97% jump. A 97% jump. A 97% jump. So I think, and China is obviously a growing, big-time market. Everything is made in China. Even the U.S., the U.S. Olympic team outfits are made in China. So everything is made in China. But I think what the Rockets did was a smart move. I think it was a smart move to get Jeremy Lin. I think it's worth all the money they paid. And I think the Knicks are making a mistake here. And I think part of it could be James Dolan. And granted, Jeremy Lin said he wanted to be with the Knicks. But, I mean, the reality is he did go back. Apparently, reports are he went back to the Rockets. And reports are that he told the Rockets what the Knicks are planning to do. And the initial report was the Rockets were that third year was going to be $9 million instead of what it was and what it turned out to be, that $14 million. So, and I think the buzz that Lin Sanity brings, I think the skill set that he brought, I think the ability that he has shown. I mean, this essentially was his rookie year. He's 23 years old. He's young. He can only get better in my mind. Now, you could argue that maybe teams have figured him out. You can make that argument that he's been figured out by teams. That argument could be made. But I don't know. I'm not willing to make that argument. I don't know. We got a 35-game sample. Started 25 games. Averaged 18 points as a starter. We'll see. We'll see. A lot of people say he's a byproduct of Mike D'Antoni's system. I mean, and I was reading an article, actually, about from J.A. Adondi from ESPN. It's kind of – he wrote about Flip Murray, Ronald Flip Murray, and I remember Flip Murray with the Supersonics. And he came out and scored a whole bunch of points, 20 points for a bunch of games. He had 20 points. He had at least 20 points in, like, 5-10 straight games or something like that. And I got to get the article up, but the thing about it is, you didn't have that same type of buzz with Flip Murray. The type of buzz. And granted, that Seattle, Jeremy Lin was in New York. Granted, I think race does play an issue in this. Jeremy Lin is Asian. Flip Murray's black. And it's not, you know, it's not because, I think the bottom line is Jeremy Lin, he's Asian. And we, in basketball, don't see a lot of Asians doing work in the NBA. We don't see it all very often. We don't see it a lot. So I think it was kind of a novelty thing. It was something new for a lot of people to see that. And I think people jumped on that as well. They jumped on that. And it kind of came out of nowhere. He kind of came out of nowhere. Not kind of. He came out of nowhere. And stepped on the scene and just put in work. Did his thing. Was phenomenal. Saved the Knicks season. The Knicks don't make it to the playoffs. Is Lin saying he never happened? If Lin Sanity does not happen, the Knicks don't make the playoffs. So Lin Sanity saved the season for the Knicks. He saved the season for the Knicks. But I think, I mean, and a lot of people at this point are discounting Jeremy Lin and saying, well, Melo wasn't there, Sotomayor wasn't there, and so on and so forth, and he may have done it against bad competition, and so on and so forth, and the Miami Heat punked him, and the Miami Heat did punk him. Mario Chalmers and those boys really got up in him. But the thing about it is this. Jeremy Lin balled. He balled. He absolutely balled for the Knicks. He balled. And I think the Knicks should have matched it. You don't know what can happen 3 years from now. You just don't. You don't know. You might get tired of Melo after this year. You might get tired of Stoudemire. I mean, Stoudemire is going to be hard to move because of his money, but anything can be moved. Anything can be moved. Any contract can be moved. Joe Johnson's contract got moved. And he's got 4 years, $89 million on it. So that contract was moved. So anything can be moved. Any contract can be moved. So I think, you know, I understand what is going on there. I understand all that. I understand that you don't want to pay the luxury tax hit, but MSG stock has gone down since this has happened. I understand, but it's 3 years from now. You don't know where you'll be at 3 years from now. You don't even know how good. I mean, this deal, 3 years, $25 million for Jeremy Lin, could be a steal 3 years from now. Could be a steal 3 years from now. So you don't know. You don't know. That deal could be a steal 3 years from now. An absolute steal 3 years from now. I mean, I think with this whole situation, with Jeremy Lin, with Lin Sanity and all this, this whole situation, I just think that the Knicks made a mistake here. 3 years, $25 million. If Jeremy Lin comes out and puts up the type of numbers that he put up as a starter for the Knicks, if he comes back and puts up those type of numbers, I think this becomes a steal. This becomes a steal. I mean, the first 2 years are very manageable. 5 years apiece. I mean, $5 million apiece in the first 2 years. Very manageable deal. A very manageable deal. The third year is the third year, $14.8 million. But the Knicks aren't hurting for money. James Dolan is not hurting for money. They're not hurting for money. If you're the Knicks, you should have just taken this buzz with Lin Sanity and just rode it. Just rode it and just rode it and rode it and rode it. Took the buzz and just rode with it. That's what you should have did. Did not make sense for you to trade, not trade, but to let Lin Sanity go. And the thing about it is, the Knicks weren't proactive here. They were reactive. They were reactive. They waited for the Rockets to make the offer. They waited for a team to make the offer. They let Jeremy Lin go out there and set his own market. And the Rockets set the market for him. You got to be proactive here. Anytime in life when you're reactive, you fall behind. You fall behind. You make mistakes and you get caught in a bad position. You get caught in a corner. And you have to make a decision. And that's what happened here with the Knicks. You had the opportunity to say, you know what, Jeremy, 3-4 years, $24-25 million, let's call it. Let's do it. 4 years, $25 million, let's put it together. Let's sign it up. He would have signed the deal. He would have signed the deal. I mean, he's in New York City. The marketing opportunities for an Asian-American basketball player who's balling in New York City are tremendous. He could have been the face of this franchise. And granted, there's Carmelo Anthony on the roster. Granted, there's Amari Stoudemire on the roster. Tyson Chandler as well. But this guy could have been the face of the franchise. The Knicks messed up here. The Knicks messed up here. And maybe Jeremy Lin is partly to blame too, if he really did go back and tell the Rockets what the Knicks were planning to do. But the Knicks did not step up with an offer. And if he doesn't sign the Rockets' offer, who's to say the Knicks would have stepped up with an offer? And who's to say another offer would have came? The Knicks messed this up. It didn't have to get to this point. It did not have to get to this point. All the Knicks had to do was say, you know what, Jeremy, 4 years, $24 million, let's do it. He would have signed it. He would have signed it. He would have signed it. And again, hey, that third, you look at it, I mean, you can make the argument that third year for the Rockets, if Jeremy Lin is a backup point guard like Larry Brown thinks he is, if he's that guy, if he's a backup like some people think he is, then that third year, $14 million for a backup point guard looks awful. It does. But if Jeremy Lin plays the way he played during Lin Sanity, balls the way he balled during Lin Sanity, if he did that, if he does that, then that $14.8 million at that point and the whole deal as a whole, 3 years, $25 million, doesn't look too bad. It doesn't look too bad. At the end of the day, to me, the blame goes squarely on the shoulders of the New York Knicks organization. They had an opportunity to just sign him up, get it done, bring him back. And you could argue that replacement, Raymond Felton, was a better basketball move. You can make that argument. You can make the argument that Felton is better than Jeremy Lin. You can make that argument. I mean, Raymond Felton had a bad year last year for the Blazers. He was a little out of shape. But the thing about it is, Jeremy Lin, his buzz off the court was just tremendous. The Knicks were going nowhere before Lin's sanity. They were a mess. No one really cared about the Knicks. You know when the Knicks became relevant? When Lin's sanity was relevant. When Lin's sanity was popping, on and popping. When Lin's sanity was out there. That's when the Knicks became relevant. That's when people started to care about the New York Knicks. Before that, the Knicks were irrelevant. They were irrelevant. They were not relevant at all. No one cared about the New York Knicks before that. No one. No one. The Knicks now, and you got the whole situation also with the Brooklyn Nets. Now the Nets moving to Brooklyn and the buzz that the Nets are getting. You're opening up the new Barclays Center in Brooklyn. Brooklyn's becoming a different place now. You have Darren Williams. You added Joe Johnson. You have a Gerald Wallace. You have a promising center in Brook Lopez. I mean, the Nets. A lot of people are making an argument that the Nets are the best team in New York. They probably are. They probably are the best team in New York. So now, instead of Jeremy Lin stealing the headlines and the Knicks stealing the headlines, Darren Williams, Joe Johnson, Gerald Wallace, and those boys, they're going to start stealing the headlines. They're going to start stealing those headlines. Those guys are going to start stealing the headlines. I mean, I don't know how good the Knicks will be. I don't know. The questions are, can Melo and Stoudemire really play with each other? I don't know. Raymond Felton, is he an upgrade over Jeremy Lin? Maybe, but I don't know. I don't know. Your two-guard situation, up in the air. That's not a solid situation. Again, another, I don't know. Another, I don't know. I mean, a lot of I don't knows here. A lot of I don't knows when it comes to the New York Knicks. A lot of I don't knows. Just a lot of I don't knows here for the New York Knicks. A lot of uncertainty for the New York Knicks. Stoudemire, how healthy is he? How healthy is Stoudemire? He didn't look good last year. Looked like a shell of himself last year. So a lot of I don't knows here with the New York Knicks. A lot of I don't knows. I mean, I think the Knicks made a mistake here. I could be wrong. But I gave you all the financial benefits of Jeremy Lin. From the standpoint of the Rockets and even from the standpoint of the Knicks. As the MSG stock has fallen because of this. So, I mean, this is the decision that the Knicks wanted to make. And the Knicks are a very old team. A very old team right now. A very old team. I mean, you brought in Raymond Felton. You're bringing back a Kurt Thomas. You brought in a Marcus Camby. You brought in a Jason Kidd. Jason Kidd who doesn't even know how to hire a driver, a limousine driver, some kind of driver. Doesn't know how to prepare his night in terms of when he goes out. Doesn't know how to say, you know what, I'm going to get my drink on tonight, so I got to get some kind of protection. I got to get a driver. You got that Jason Kidd on your roster now. And he did come out on Twitter yesterday and did apologize to everyone, did apologize to the Knicks organization. But, I mean, you have Jason Kidd and all that situation, the uncertainty here with him. And, I mean, hopefully Jason Kidd learned a valuable lesson here in this situation. But, I mean, you saw the pictures. I mean, he was on tables getting his dance on. He had a nice outfit, though, nice white pants and decent shirt. He was on the table getting his dance on and whatnot, having a good old time. I mean, Jason Kidd was loving life, loving life, loving being back in New York, loving it up, enjoying it. And then, you know, but there's a price to pay for that, Jason, when you don't get a driver. You don't get a driver, you run into issues. And those issues become what you have here. I said it earlier in the show, and I'll say it again. Thank God no one got hurt. Thank God no one got hurt. Thank God he didn't get hurt. And more importantly, thank God he didn't hurt anyone else. But man, oh man, get a driver. Get a driver. Please. Please, get a driver. Don't cost that much money. Especially with a guy like you. You're balling. You're a baller. You're a baller. You are a baller. So please, get a driver in the future. Don't be dumb. Don't be stupid. Don't be dumb. Don't be stupid. Get a driver. Please. Get a driver. And that's a public service announcement from Go Forward Radio and Paul Gant. Jason Kidd, get yourself a driver. Marshawn Lynch, get yourself a driver. Kenny Britt, get yourself a driver. Get yourself a driver. Please. Please. Get yourself drivers. And you look at that whole situation. I'm going to go back to that now because it really bothers me. I'm really bothered by it and seeing guys who, and you know, Sean Andrews talked about it. You get caught up in that lifestyle. You get caught up. And it can happen to anybody. We all can get caught up. You don't have to be a professional athlete to get caught up in anything. But the thing about it is this. You have, and maybe this is the problem, but you have a boatload of money, a lot of ways you have the world at your fingertips. And that may be a part of the problem. Because sometimes when you have that power, you have that money, you think you can do anything. You think you can get away with anything. You almost think you're above the law. You think you're above the law. And I think that's what happens sometimes with these guys. They become above the law, at least in their mind. And they just do things without worrying about the consequences. I mean, I'll give the NFL credit. Roger Goodell's done a great job in terms of trying to clean up the game, making you pay. If you do wrong by the league, if you're not doing the right things, if you're not doing the right things, you're going to pay for it. Ask Pac-Man Jones. Ask the late Chris Henry. I mean, ask Michael Vick. If you're doing the wrong things, you're going to pay. Oh, you're going to pay. You're going to pay dearly. You're going to pay dearly. You're going to pay dearly. And Roger Goodell's not playing. He's not playing any games with you. He's not going to play any games with you. He's going to do anything he in his power to protect the brand. And that brand is the Shield, the National Football League. He's going to do anything in his power to protect the brand. He's going to protect the brand. He's going to protect the brand. Any means necessary. If you're out there drinking, and you got DUIs, DWIs, and you get yourself in trouble, gun issues, and so on and so forth, you're going to pay. And that's the bottom line. He's not playing with you. He is not playing with you. He's just not. He's just not. He's not. He's not. And you feel bad for these guys in a lot of ways because, again, they have everything. They have it all. And to Sean Andrews' point, you get caught up when you have it all sometimes. You get caught up when you have the money. You get caught up when you can buy all these jewelry and buy these cars. The money, clothes, and hoes sometimes is all a brother knows when they get involved in professional athletics, when they start making the money. That's what happens. That's what happens when you get involved in those type of things. That's what happens. And Marshawn Lynch, another guy who was charged with a DUI, in California last weekend. I mean, his blood alcohol level was over the legal limit. He did apologize yesterday, and I'll read his statement. I want to apologize to my family, the Seattle Seahawks, the NFL, and the 12th man for the negative attention resulting from my recent actions. This is not the type of community leader I have been over the last 2 years or the one I'm striving to become. I want to assure everyone that I will work to be better and look forward to a very exciting and very successful season with the Seattle Seahawks. Well, I mean, I hope all those things happen for Marshawn Lynch. I mean, he was charged Wednesday with 2 counts of driving under the influence of drugs and alcohol and driving while having a blood and alcohol level of over 0.08. And his court date is August 14th. August 14th court date for Marshawn Lynch. But the thing about Marshawn Lynch, the thing about this situation, if you're a Seattle Seahawks fan and you're the Seattle Seahawks organization, this guy was suspended 3 games before. He was suspended 3 games before. Does Goodell come back and say if he is convicted or even, I mean, Roger Goodell is given punishments before convictions were handed down. But if he is convicted, does Roger Goodell double the previous 3-game suspension to a 6-gamer or an 8-gamer for Marshawn Lynch? And this is a guy who last year signed a new deal with the Seattle Seahawks. $31 million deal. 4 years, $31 million, $18 million in guarantees. And he was a big part of the Seattle Seahawks running attack and the offense. The Seahawks made a little push there near the end of the year, and mainly that was because of Marshawn Lynch and all the skittles and all the good stuff that he was doing. And so this is a big situation for the Seahawks. And if you're the Seahawks, you're hoping that this works out. You're hoping that maybe he can get off here. Because if he doesn't, you're talking about the possibilities now of that 3-gamer that he got a couple years ago getting doubled and turning to a 6-gamer or possibly an 8-gamer. And an 8-gamer is a half of the season. So Marshawn Lynch, this is big. This is big. This is big for him. And he's a guy that, you know, you would hoped would have learned his lesson. You hope he would have learned his lesson. He's been in a lot of run-ins with the law. In 2009, he had a misdemeanor gun charge in L.A. He had 3 years probation, 80 years of community service. And because of that, he was suspended 3 games. Then you had back in 2008, he had a little hit-and-run accident, which he just was given a traffic violation, but he did strike a woman in that accident. You wonder, does the 3-gamer that he received a few years ago turn into a 6 or 8-gamer? And that is big. Big year for Marshawn Lynch last year. Over 1,200 yards. 12 touchdowns last year for Marshawn Lynch. He was a beast. Beast mode, as he likes to say. He was a beast last year. Flat out beast, a stud. He was a stud last year for the Seahawks. He was a stud for the Seahawks last season. Unfortunate, very unfortunate, what's happened. And I believe that makes it 18 arrests since in the NFL since the Super Bowl, since February, 18 arrests. NFL players arrested. I mean, so, and then you have the situation with Denver Broncos linebacker Elvis Dumervil. Again, his situation. He was arrested in Miami for allegedly flashing a gun as another motorist, at another driver, at another car. Road rage for Elvis Dumervil. He's a 2-time Pro Bowler. And apparently reports are he flashed a gun. So, I mean, these a lot of guys out here, you know, not doing what they're supposed to be doing. And there's an old saying with to whom much is given, much is expected. To whom much is given, much is expected. Fair or unfair? Fair or unfair? To whom much is given, much is expected. So that's basically saying, if you're given a lot, your responsibility level increases. Everything increases. To whom much is given, much is expected. So, Elvis Dumervil, please. Marshawn Lynch, please. Kenny Britt, please. Dez Bryant, please. Act right. Do the right things. Live your life like it's golden. A la Jill Scott. Do those things. Live your life like it's golden. That's what these guys need to do. Unfortunate to see what has transpired in the National Football League since the Super Bowl. Guys acting a fool. You're listening to Go For It on BlogTalkRadio.com.
Almeida, a.k.a. Corey Live, host of Pizzerica on the Hub and warm-up host for American Idol and Dancing with the Stars. And right now, you are listening to Go For It on Blog Talk Radio with my man Pauly G and Jeremy. Get it!
Thank you, Corey Live. And we were scheduled to be joined by Chris Wilcox of the Boston Celtics. We're still trying to work that out. Hopefully we can get it done before the end of the show. But we're still waiting for Chris Wilcox to call in. Hopefully he will before the end of the show. If he doesn't, maybe we can get him on another time. And hopefully we can get him on another time. But looking at it now and moving forward, and again, people aren't acting right. Jason Kidd not acting right. Duberville not acting right. Dez Bryant not acting right. Kenny Britt not acting right. A lot of people just not acting right. And disappointing to see when individuals are not acting right, not doing what they're supposed to be doing, not doing the right things. Disappointing, very disappointing to hear and see those things. But it's life. It truly is life. But you just want individuals to do the right things. You want individuals to do the right things. You really do. You want individuals to do the right things. And unfortunately, individuals are not doing the right things. They're not doing the right things. They're just flat out not doing them. Unfortunately, they're not. They're just not. They're not. It's just not a good situation when guys are just not doing the right things. Not doing the right things. Sad. Sad. Just flat out sad. And we talked about the Houston Rockets and their signing of Jeremy Lin. But also, they also have signed an offer sheet. Omar Sheik, they also signed him. And Omar Sheik's deal has that similar setup, similar makeup as Jeremy Lin's deal. And again, in the third year of that deal, there's a possibility he's going to make $14.9 million. And this is for Omar Sheik. And Omar Sheik has shown ability. He has definitely shown ability, and that's what you pay for in this league. You pay for ability. You pay for potential, I should say. You pay for potential. But the thing about it is, the Houston Rockets, and thinking about this, and this could be crazy. 3 years from now, they could be on the hook for $30 million between two players, Jeremy Lin and Omar Sheik. They could be on the hook 3 years from now from those two for those two players. And this is an Omar Sheik. This is a player that throughout the course of his illustrious career, and it's really not has not been illustrious to this point, but again, he's a 7-footer. He's shown ability to block shots, rebound the basketball. I mean, so it's all about potential here. You're paying for potential, the P word, the dreaded P word at times, because a lot of people have potential, but potential could be just that, potential, if you never do anything with it. It could be just potential. It could be just that, potential, if you do nothing with it. The P word, the dreaded P word. The dreaded P word. The P word that's out there. It's out there. Potential. A lot of people have potential. A lot of people have potential. A lot of people have potential. But what is potential if it turns into nothing? What is potential if it turns into nothing? If it turns into absolutely nothing? So this is the same Omar Sheikh that there's a possibility that the Houston Rockets could be on the hook in 3 years from now for a guy in Omar Sheikh who's been nothing more, who's averaged no more than 3 points per game in his illustrious career. Has only started 2 games in his career. And you know, the average 14.7 minutes per game. Did average 3 points a game, but also did average 5 boards a game, and that it was in 14 minutes, I should say. So you add another 14 minutes to that. Maybe those numbers go up to 6 points per game to possibly 6 points per game and 10 rebounds. Possibly. But the thing about it is, with Omar Sheikh and the Houston Rockets, I mean, if Jeremy Lin, a lot of people, I mean, Larry Brown said it. Larry Brown knows point guards. The great Hall of Fame coach, Larry Brown, he knows point guards. He was a point guard himself. He loves point guards. He knows point guards. He believes that Jeremy Lin is a backup point guard. He believes that Jeremy Lin is a backup point guard. So 3 years from now, the Houston Rockets could be on the hook for $30 million with the likes of – and with two players. $30 million equals two players, and those two players could be Omar Sheikh and Jeremy Lin. $30 million between two guys that, when it's all said and done, could be nothing more than backups in this league. You could be on the hook for $30 million for two guys 3 years from now that may be only backups. They may only be backups 3 years from now. And the Houston Rockets could be on the hook for $30 million between those two players. Between Omar Sheikh, who averaged 3 points a game in 15 minutes, 14.7 minutes, but I'll round it up to 15 minutes, and Jeremy Lin. Jeremy Lin. Started 25 games for the Knicks and received $25 million for his services. $25 million for his services. So each $1 million is per start, pretty much, that he's had in his career for Jeremy Lin. Lin Sanity. So, you look at it, the Houston Rockets could be in some big-time trouble 3 years from now. And paying a lot of money, possibly, to two stiffs. Possibly. 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 Two stiffs. Jeremy Lin and Omar Sheikh. You got to do what you got to do sometimes to get these guys, and sometimes it takes those poison pills, if you will. It takes that third year, and that third year being such an extraordinary number, a big-time number. It takes that sometimes for you to get the player that you want. And for the Rockets, those players are Jeremy Lin and Omar Sheikh. Jeremy Lin and Omar Sheikh. I hope that these players turn into something for the Houston Rockets. I really do. Because if they don't, the Houston Rockets are going to look bad. They're going to look bad. Jeremy Lin, 3 years, $25 million, $14 million in that third year. Jeremy Lin's contract, 3 years, $25 million. How many games has Jeremy Lin started? 25. So he got $1 million for every game that he started. What a country. What a stinking country, I tell you. What a country. What a country. But hey. Hey. We pay for potential. And that's basically what's happening here. They're paying for potential. And as a starter, Jeremy Lin, 18 points per game, 7 assists a game. So, when he was a starter, he balled. We'll see what happens. And how about Brett Favre? Switching gears now, another 8 minutes left in the show. Brett Favre recently came out and said, you know what? Part of the reason I came back in 2010 was for the money. Big part of it was for the money. He came back for the money. He told that to Deion Sanders on the NFL Network. They had a show. No Huddle, I believe, is the name of the show. But he came back for the money. He came back for the money. Part of the reason he came back in 2010 was the money. And a big part of the reason he came back was the money. And he said the money was too good. He said that to Deion Sanders. I hate to say it's about the money, but I felt the money was a lot. And it was. It was. I mean, he came back for a contract worth $20 million. So I cannot argue with you, Brett. I cannot argue with you, Brett. I can't argue with you. And I knew, the funny thing about it is, when Brett Favre, he had that magical year for the Vikings back in 2009, magical year. I mean, he balled, he got it done, he put up big-time numbers for the Minnesota Vikings, got him all the way to the NFC title game and was a stupid interception away from getting to the Super Bowl for Brett Favre. So he balled. He balled during that year. I mean, 33 big touchdowns for the Vikings. I mean, he got it done. And everybody thought he was done, and he got it done. 107 quarterback rating, 33 big touchdowns, only 7 interceptions, over 4,000 yards passing. He got it done. And I said it back in 2010. I said this back in 2010, that I didn't believe Brett Favre or the Minnesota Vikings could duplicate that particular season. I didn't think there was no way on this earth that the Vikings were going to get back to that point. I said it. I said it numerous times before that season started. The magic wasn't there. That was a magical year for the Minnesota Vikings. And sometimes when you have those magical years, you better just walk away. Sometimes it's just best to walk away because those magical years sometimes cannot be duplicated. It wasn't duplicated for Brett Favre. It just wasn't something he could duplicate. He couldn't duplicate that kind of year. You can't duplicate 33 touchdowns and 7 interceptions. This is Brett Favre we're talking about. This is a man, this is a gunslinger. The ultimate gunslinger. His lowest interception number was 13. That was his lowest number of interceptions in his career. And he comes back at the age of 39 in 2009 and throws only 7 interceptions to go with 33 touchdowns? You knew that number couldn't be duplicated. You knew that magic could not be duplicated. You knew it. But Brett Favre, he wanted to duplicate that magic. He couldn't do it. It was impossible. He knew it. 2010. But again, it's very hard for anybody to walk away from $20 million. It's just very hard. You might have your doubts, maybe, you know, you have your doubts, maybe, I can't duplicate this. I can't do no better than this. I can't get better than this. I can't duplicate that season. We can't get back to the title game. I just don't see it. You can have all those doubts. But when $20 million comes across your face, oh, those doubts go away. They go far, far away. Those doubts go away. They go away. Any doubts that you had, they go away. They go away. Those doubts, once that $20 million is turned to your face, put in front of your face, those, okay, maybe I can't do it, turns into, you know what, I did it before. I could do that. I did it before. We got some talent there on that roster. Maybe I can do it. You know what, let me give it a shot. I got 20 million reasons to give it a shot. 20 million reasons to give it a shot. And Brett Favre is actually going to be a coach, a high school coach. So I believe he's going to be an assistant coach. Not believe, he is going to be an assistant coach for a high school in Mississippi. Could you imagine being on that high school team and being coached by the great Brett Favre? That would be a thrill. People might just go out for the team because of the opportunity to have Brett Favre coach them or just to be around Brett Favre. I mean, that would be a thrill. Your high school kid have an opportunity to be coached by Brett Favre? That's cool. That's cool. Shoot, I didn't play football in high school, but I think I would now if I was back in high school in Mississippi. That's what I would do now if I had an opportunity to have the great Brett Favre coach me. So he's going to be an assistant high school coach in Mississippi, Oak Grove High School. And he's going to be a coach there. And Brett Favre, I mean, and the whole situation with the Packers and his relationship with the Packers, obviously it's strained at this point. But I think ultimately they'll bring him back and have a ceremony for him. It's only right. He's one of the greatest quarterbacks in Packer history. He was a part of that if you the 90s, he brought back the Packers. He helped bring back that Packer organization. Him, along with Reggie White, they helped bring back the Packers organization back in the 90s. So I think ultimately they'll take care of that. I mean, at this point, he is the greatest quarterback in Packer history. At this point, I mean, you look at his numbers. You look at the way he fought through injuries. He played in darn near every game in his career. So Brett Favre and the Packers need to work this thing out. Whether it's Favre, whether it's the Packers, whoever it is, they need to work this thing out. Give this guy his just due. Give him a day. Retire that number. Do all the great things for the man. He's done a lot for your organization. And I'm not saying it's all the Packers. I'm not saying it's all Brett Favre. But what I'm saying is they need to come together, get it right. Brett Favre, done a lot for the Packers. The Packers, done a lot for Brett Favre. I want to thank Sean Andrews for stopping by. Make sure you follow him on Twitter. I'm Sean Andrews. Also, you can listen to this show and other great shows at blogtalkradio.com/pgam, where you can listen to this show and other great shows. Make sure you follow us on Twitter at GoForItKent. And, you know, I say some nice things on Twitter, so follow me there. I'll follow back, and we'll just follow each other right down the road. Again, you can listen to this show and other great shows, blogtalkradio.com/pgam, where you can listen to this show and other great shows. Lots of great guests over the 2 years here at Go For It. For everybody here at Go For It, we hope you have a great day and a great week. See you later. Take care. Bye.